So I don't know if I introduced myself earlier. I'm Talbot Davis. I'm the pastor here. And again, whether you're at the Moss campus or Zohr campus or tuning in on live stream from kind of all over the United States and even lands beyond there, I'm really, really glad that you are here today. We have, if you've been at Good Shepherd over the last couple of weeks, 3 weeks really, you might remember. And if you haven't been here the last few weeks, this will just kind of fill in a couple of gaps. But we've had this series over the last 3 weeks called The Three Don'ts of Election 2020. And if you're with us, the very first don't was don't confuse your civics with your citizenship. And the second don't was don't burn a relational bridge over a political belief. And then last week, as we gathered together, the third don't of the three don'ts of election 2020 was, if you follow an eternal king, don't divide over a temporary prince. And so we've had those three don'ts of election 2020, and a lot of you have mentioned this is very helpful for processing relationships, and you're glad that we didn't hand out voter guides to tell you how to vote. That's not what it was about at all. But we also thought that given the fact that we've had an election week, you know, it used to be an election day, but it's kind of like the days in Genesis chapter 1. Is it 24 hours or is it a lot longer than 24 hours? And I guess this week we've seen it's a lot longer than 24 hours. So we've had election week, and we thought that it might be appropriate as we come to the tail end of this entire season to have, instead of the three don'ts of election 2020, to devote kind of a different service together to the one do of election 2020. And so that's what I want to spend some time talking to you about today. After those three don'ts, what is the one do of post-election 2020? And as we think about even that question, or even this entire season that we are in, I am so glad that earlier in the service, and I hope that if you're part of live stream, you stood up and you prayed it along with everybody else, but so glad that we did what's called a prayer of confession. It was when Devin Tharp was up here leading you in the merciful God, and we prayed a prayer of confession. I was really, it's something that a lot of Methodist churches, you may not have even known that we're Methodist, but we are, and a lot of Methodist churches do those kind of prayers every week. We don't do them often. But I just thought it was such a good idea that we did that today. Actually, it was my idea, but that we do that today, because I think I have sensed over the last number of weeks and months and even years that we in the United States have become professionals at confessing other people's sins and amateurs at confessing our own. Did you catch that? We are so good at confessing the sins of others and so lax at confessing our own, because I don't know if you know this or not, but that is what social media is. Social media is a forum, Twitter especially. It is a forum onto which people can go to confess the sins of other people. And we in 21st century America, especially in election season 2020, we have gotten that down to a fine art. We are so good. We are masters, professionals at confessing the sins of other people, and rank amateurs at confessing ours. Even if you think back, if you're on social media and you think back at all those times you've been mad, have you noticed that it can get you mad? All those times you got stirred up and you typed something out and you hit send or post or whatever and it felt so good. And now you realize as I'm talking, as you look in your own rearview mirror, yeah, it felt so good because I was confessing other people's sins. And I think that especially when it comes to politics and governance and culture, that we're pretty adept at confessing the sins of others, because most of us are pretty convinced that we're on Jesus' side, or that Jesus is on our side. That we look through the issues and whether those issues have to do with tax policy or whether they have to do with foreign policy or whether it has to do with religious freedom, religious expression, and we're like, yeah, Yeah, I am pretty sure that Jesus is taking my side, that I can confess the sins of other people because I'm right. And some of you are like, right now, you're like, yeah, I am. And I don't know whether you're a red this morning and you're kind of downcast and maybe angry, or whether you're blue this morning and you're a little bit giddy, maybe even kind of euphoric. I don't know. We got a whole lot of both. If this, you know, it'd be very easy if this church was all red or all blue and we all thought alike and talked alike and voted exactly alike. That'd be very easy. We just would be a Stepford church. I think it's much more interesting to have the messy beauty that we have, where people come from so many places all around the globe, from so many different perspectives, that we're not going to look at all those issues exactly the same. And again, a lot of you, you're kind of convinced, yeah, I'm okay to confess other people's sins because I'm on Jesus' side. And some of you are like, I know I'm right about the babies in the womb. And yeah, you are. And others, yeah, but I know I'm right about the children at the border. Oh, yeah, you are. You see how these issues aren't necessarily so cut and dried and black and white and so easy. And so for you and for me to assume that in the sort of the totality of all that we believe, that Jesus has taken our side, I simply want you to know, and I simply want you to understand that I believe the one due in the aftermath of election 2020, we've talked about the don't, but that the one due is this realization that Pastor Tony Evans from Dallas helped me understand one time, because it's this: Jesus did not come to take sides, he came to take over. And when you understand that Jesus didn't come to take sides, he came to take over, that helps you look at your own views, your own policies, your own perspectives, and hello, your own social media, your own opinions, your own fractured relationships with so much more humility. And you're able to be so much more cautious. Would I ever say that without a doubt, 100%, that Jesus has taken my side because I'm red or I'm blue? No! He did not come to take sides. He came to take over. And I believe that if you and if I can become the kind of people who have the humility not to confess other people's sins, I'm good at that, but confess ours? Mine, then we will be the kind of people who understand that, yeah, Jesus didn't come to take sides. He came to take over. Do you realize how out of kilter everything is? I mean, not just coronavirus, but like everything is. I don't know if in the run-up to the election, you saw those TV commercials, and some of you are like, commercials? I stream only. Well, I'm still a dinosaur, and I see commercials. And Facebook had a kind of a get-out-the-vote commercial. And at the end of the get-out-the-vote commercial that Facebook put up, there was a voice of an older lady, and she just said, as the commercial kind of fades, it's the most important thing you can do. It's voting. Is the most important thing you can. No! It's not! If we weren't in such polite company, I might add another word to no. It is not the most, it's an important thing you can do. It is not the most important thing you can do. We have turned it into a religion. No wonder people are so stirred up. No wonder people are either euphoric or devastated, and if the results had been different, euphoric and devastated on the other side. No wonder there's so much emphasis on that, because we have made it a religion. I told you last week that there are forces at work in our world, and they want to divide churches, and they want to divide families, and they want to divide workplaces, because those forces know that if churches can be divided and families can be divided and you are isolated, then you have to depend 100% on political leaders and political policies. And another name for that is a religion. So that just shows you how out of kilter everything is. And so into that world, Jesus comes to you and he comes to me. And what does it say in Philippians chapter 2 in verses 10 and 11? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Not most knees, not some knee, every single one. He comes to say, he's not coming here to take sides. He's coming here to take over. And so I have to ask you, especially those of you who call yourself a Christian, to what degree have you allowed Jesus to take over your life? Has he taken over your tongue? Have you said things over the last several months that have caused tension in relationships? Have you said things in the heat of the moment that can never be unsaid? Have you posted things that once you post them, they can't be unposted? And even when you try to unpost them, oh Lord, somebody took a screenshot of it. It's up there. Has he taken over your tongue? Has he taken over your opinions? Has he taken over even the ways you allow social media or day-long news? I hope you don't have tomatoes with you today, but a lot of people who are retirement age, I know this, you spend all day in front of cable TV, cable news. And what does that do? It stirs you up all day long. And then they put on TV commercials oriented for people with retirement age needs. And then commercial's over and it's back to stirring you. It's almost like they know how your mind works. Have you allowed him to take over even what you watch, how much you watch? Because Jesus didn't come to take sides. He came to take over. And for those of you who are married, have you allowed him to take over your marriage? We have what we call around here the beautiful marriage movement. I was able to do a wedding just yesterday. Such a pretty wedding. And I was able to say to the couple and those who had gathered, yeah, great to have a pretty wedding, but I'm so glad you all are already investing in a beautiful marriage, because the pretty wedding lasts the day and the beautiful marriage lasts a lifetime. And so I just have to ask you all, those of you who are married in this place, have you allowed him to take over your marriage? Because here's what I know. A lot of times, a lot of people, and I know this because I grew up in it. A lot of times, a lot of people use moments like this, use political crises like this, and put all their energy and all their emotions into that political situation as a way of ignoring the most important relationships in their lives. And again, I've told y'all this before. My main memory as a little kid is watching my parents watch the television, and there was a president on the television when I was a little kid. And so I'm like 35, 36 years old. So you'll be able to figure out who that president was. And they were just yelling at that president. I mean, what do you remember growing up? Oh yeah, I remember my parents yelling at the president blank on the television. At the time I thought it's normal. Well, yeah, you gotta care about your politics. You gotta be upset about your president, especially if he's not a crook or is a crook or whatever. And then now in retrospect that I'm that adult, I realize that is so unhealthy. All the energy, all the emotion, all the investment is going into that person whom they can never control. And what was left for us? And they could. So have you, I just have to think that in this completely unique election season that we have just been through, that so many of you have deflected. Man, it's a lot easier to be mad at the president, or it's a lot easier to be mad at President-elect Biden. It's a lot easier to be mad at people you don't know than to invest in the people you love. Have you allowed him? Have you allowed him not to take sides in your marriage, but to take over your marriage. And those of you who aren't married, maybe you're single, maybe you're single again, have you allowed him to take over even what it means to live as a single person in 21st century America who's been bought by Jesus? Have you allowed yourself to live into that understanding that in contrast to what the world says, I don't know if you know this or not, your body is not your own. It was bought with a price. He didn't come to take part of you. He came to own all of you. Because Jesus didn't come to take sides. He came to take over. And I've thought, whoa, what would it look like if as a church, people of Good Shepherd, if we allowed Jesus not to take sides as a church, but to take over the church, what would this place look like? Moss and Zor and Livestream and Spanish speaking campus. What would it look like if he took over? And you know what I realized it would look like if he really took over? We would be a lot more concerned with saving souls than with electing candidates. A lot more. If we invited him, open up to his complete and total takeover of us as a body of Christ, we would be so filled with gratitude, those of us who are Christians, we would be so filled with gratitude that when we confess our sins, he forgives them. We would be so filled with gratitude. Have you ever thought about this? That my level of obedience is here and my level of blessing is up here. Is this anybody else's life? That I look back in my rearview mirror and I see that and I see that and I see that. My level of obedience is down here. But my level of blessing, through the roof. And what is it that explains the gap between your level of blessing and your level of obedience? What explains that gap but God? And when you understand that, how can we keep that news inside? If we know we've gotten so much better than we deserve, and that's nothing compared to what it's going to be on the other side of life, how can we keep that news inside? How can we get so worked up over electing candidates when God's given us this glorious, beautiful ministry of saving souls? I think back to actually how I came to faith, and again, I didn't grow up going to church at all. God has a sense of humor and go to church at all. Because, you know, my parents were yelling at the TV all the time. They didn't have time to take us to church. And yet when I became 17, there was a friend. And he knew Jesus as his Savior. And he knew that Jesus was coming back one day. And he wanted me to be ready for when Jesus came back. Because he knew that when Jesus comes back, there's really two options. You're saved, you're lost. It's heaven, it's hell. There's not an in-between. There's not a further testing ground, a proving ground. And that may be offensive, that may be shocking, but I won't offend you all the way into the kingdom. And so he shared his faith with me bluntly, severely, but in a way that as a 17-year-old, the room was spinning, and no, there weren't no drugs, there weren't no alcohol, there was plenty of God. And the room was spinning, and I knew it was my time to say yes to Jesus. And so my friend didn't get paid to do that. He wasn't made to do that. His gratitude just welled up within him to do that. What about you? When you allow Jesus not to take sides in your life, but to take over your life, where's that level of gratitude that will compel you to share that good news that you have with someone you love very deeply, who you know they don't have what we call a living relationship with Jesus Christ? Because what does Paul promise in the end of this glorious section of Philippians chapter 2? That one day Listen to it again. One day Jesus is coming back, and at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, which even means under the earth, that even means those people who've said no to Jesus. When he comes back, even they are going to have to acknowledge who he really is. And under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So yeah, every soul ever created when Jesus comes back is going to acknowledge who he is. It's just that some will do it out of practice, and some will do it by force. I just want to be one of those people who's been doing it all along. Let the one do in the aftermath of election 2020 be the awareness and the faith and the humility to understand that Jesus didn't come to take sides. He came to take over, and it starts with me. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, let's pray. So God, thank you that you didn't pay it some, you paid it all. And thank you, Lord, that it won't just be a few knees that will bow, but they will all bow. And so, God, I pray that all of us in this place, whether we need to bring you our anger and our frustration today, or even our joy today, that all of us would have the sober-mindedness to acknowledge, yep, you came not to choose a side, but to take over. For in your strong name we pray. Amen.